last week. I am like still pumped up about that. If you're not ready to set go make disciples, man, there's something's just wrong with you. And so, anyway, that was fun. I appreciated that. Roger, what a great communion message. I really appreciated the reminder that we just participated in the most expensive meal in the history of the world, but Jesus picked the tab up. So I appreciate that message. That was a good reminder. So as we go, the beauty of this series is we're taking the commission, the Great Commission. One of the last things Jesus says to us before he leaves earth. And you guys remember what it was? Joe, how'd you guys memorize it? Raise your hand if you memorize it. No, don't do that. But here it is. I'll give you help. He asked us to memorize this. All right, we're gonna work on it over the next couple of weeks. And this is basically what Jesus commissioned us to do. Now, our words put on there, the Great Commission, this is just something Jesus simply says to his disciples after spending 3.5 years with them, right? And so we've made that our motto here, our mission statement, our way we live our life. And so we had a couple people that Jim Weinheimer and Linda Moore joined us this morning at the 9 o'clock service, and they want to go with us. They want to be part of what we're doing here. And Stacy Reitman is here this service. Where are you at, Stacy? I know you're back there somewhere. But stand up. Everybody wants to see you. All right. She's going to join us too. Now, they've taken Foundations 1 and 2, and they've been baptized into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if you've taken Foundations, you've seen this passage. I mean, this is what we talk about here. This is our mission. We want to go make disciples. And so she wants to go with us. And so help her out, encourage her, be part of the relationship with her. So you see I've highlighted a couple of action words there. And kind of Joe did the intro for it last week. And what we're doing is we're taking this commandment, and we're going to go through the book of Acts to see how the disciples responded to this. And so you see I've got a couple highlighted action words there, and today we're going to go through that word go. And so many of you guys study scripture the way I do, where you figure out something you want to study, and so it's real important to look at the before and after, right? The chapter before and the chapter after, or the verse before and verse after. And I think sometimes we lose sight of this, the short little word go, but right before it's that word therefore. And the reason that's therefore, you know, anytime you see therefore, you got to find out what it's there for, is that statement he makes right before that. And I think Jesus has earned the right to say this statement. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And why? Because God sent him to bring us back to relationship with God. And he said yes, and he went, right? Our series is on go, and so God went first, right? Did he not send his son? And God, he went to us in flesh form, and so we could be back in right relationship. So he straps on flesh and lives life sinless for all of his years. And then he grabs hold of 12 disciples, and he pours into them, and he teaches them, and he just lives life with these guys, and they watch him do miracle after miracle and feed people. And so the important part of this statement is now they're sitting on a hill in Galilee, right where it all started, and they've watched everything that's happened. And can you imagine being with Jesus for those 3.5 years? What that looked like when he healed people, when he fed people, when storms came and you're in a boat and you're scared. I mean, it's literally like a roller coaster of emotions being with Jesus. But Jesus was there through it all with them, and he's challenged them to now go and be like him. And so they've seen all the goods and bads, and then Jesus right at the end starts talking about his death, how he's going to die on a cross and come back. And so the emotions start going down, and it happens, right? He dies on a cross, he's in a tomb for 3 days, and on the third day he rises, so the emotions are right back up. I mean, it's tough living with Jesus sometimes, right? And so for 40 days now he shows up to these guys, and he's showing them with them, he's eating with them a lot, and their emotions are right back on high. And so then he's getting ready to say, I'm going back home. So I don't know what it was like to be a disciple in this time. But he says, all authority has been given to me, therefore go. It's your job now. The baton's been passed to you. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if you're one of the disciples and you're sitting there, I'm looking at the other guys like, is he talking to me? Like, I'm going to go? But the beauty of this whole thing is he doesn't send them alone, right? If you look at that very last sentence, he says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You're not going to go alone. I've been promising you the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you. I'm just asking you to be bold. So 11 guys, right? And we know Judas flunked out of this class. But 11 guys sitting on a hill in Galilee get this command from Jesus. And you guys got to understand something. Galilee is not like this most prestigious city. Not like where Roger was just at eating $150 meals. Galilee is like this podunk hillbilly part of town, right? It was often said that nothing good comes from Galilee. Sort of like Wikiwachi, right? I mean, all right, we're from here, right? We worship here, but really, Wikiwachi is not one of these known places. It's a little place in the woods, and And we started off as a campsite here 50 years ago. And here we are, 400 people or plus in a room here with a desire to change the world. Because 11 guys 2,000 years ago took this command and did something with it. And they went. And they told people about Jesus. And they talked about salvation. And then those people told more people. And then those people told more people. And here we are today because a bunch of people went. A bunch of people said, I'll go. And so who are we to say we're not going to go, right? So that's why this is our mission statement. That's why this is everything about what we do. And so today, I'm going to talk about Joe's second piece of homework that he gave you. Remember what it was? What were you supposed to read, right? Acts. All right, you guys are awesome. So chapters 1 through 7 should be read by now. So we're going to be studying today in chapter 1 and 2. And so it should sound familiar to you as we go. But so chapter 1, if you guys are there, talks about what the disciples did when they heard us. But we got to catch up real quick because Luke wrote the book of Acts. And if you guys know, there's four gospel accounts, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. The neat part about Luke is he's the only Gentile writer in the New Testament. The only person who wasn't of Jewish descent. So I think that's important. And I know God did not make a mistake when he has Luke write Acts, because what he's saying is this promise is for everybody now. Everybody gets this free gift. This is no longer for a certain type of people. Everybody can read this and be part of this and get what I'm promising you. And we'll talk about what that is here in a minute. So chapter 1, verse 1, I'll catch up. Luke's just saying who wrote the book. And then down in verse 3, it says, after his suffering, talking about Jesus, he showed himself to these men and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know what that looked like, but when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, it must have been an impressive talk. I mean, I don't know exactly what he said, but these guys are hearing things they've never heard before. On one occasion, verse 4, while he was eating with them, again eating, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait till the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you getting ready to, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And you in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. So he's saying, wait for my power. I'm not going to send you alone. I'm commanding you guys to go, but wait. You're going to have power like you've never had power before. You're going to have the Holy Spirit living. God will be living inside of you. You're going to say things you've never said and think things you've never thought, and you're going to be people you've never been before. But wait for it. And so here's the beauty of God. He's not asking you to change people. Who changes people? God does, right? God is already in our tomorrows working on the people that we're going to need to be working on tomorrow. He's already softening their heart. And you're going to see an example of that here coming up. But he's asking them to go. Just think about it. God went first, right? He made us spiritually and emotionally and physically to go. I mean, even look at our bodies. Our bodies were made in a way we walk forward, right? I mean, everything about our bodies, our knees hinge forward, it drives our bodies forward. Our hips and our ankles all work together and our arms swing in a way that moves us forward. Our eyes are on the front of our faces so that we can see forward. And we smell forward, and when our mouths are speaking forward, and our ears are cupped in a way that we hear forward. The only thing that happens behind us is it happens because you don't want to step in it, really, right? We're made to be physically moving forward. Same in spirit. Bad joke. We're made to be on the move. And the part of that that's important to you know is that God's Spirit does that for you. He drives us forward. And so you're going to see what... Let's move on to see what these guys, how they respond to this. So verse 9, after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They don't see Jesus anymore. They were looking intently into the sky, what was going on, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them and said, men of Galilee, men and women of Wikiwachi, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go. Let's go. Be on the move. You know what he's told you to do. Let's go get the Holy Spirit and let's go. Kind of catch you up on the rest of that chapter. They replaced Judas with Matthias. They cast lots and they just select him. And then now chapter 2 comes on the scene And the guys all did what Jesus said, and they go in there and hiding in this little room. And I imagine there's a lot of fear still in their lives. You've got to remember, just a little while ago, they watched Jesus die at the hands of Roman citizens and Jewish people that hated him. And so they're hiding in a room, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes as Jesus promised, right? And it's a windstorm. There's all kinds of commotion going on, and tongues of fire come on their head. And they walk outside, and they're speaking in languages that everybody understands. And it mentions at least 16 different areas of people that come, countries, if you will, or cities. And there's only 12 disciples, right? So I'm not sure what that looked like, but everybody's hearing their own language out of these guys, and they're in awe, right? How can this possibly be? I mean, I'm from Libya, but they're speaking my language. But just like anything else, when you have a great thing that happens in life, you're going to have naysayers, right? I mean, you can just turn on the news and see that right now. You can see something great that's happening, but, oh, yeah, but, right? You get the yeah, buts. In this case, they say, these guys, people made fun of them. So now they're drunk. They've been drinking too much wine. And so for the first time now, you're going to see somebody get up and speak boldly about the forgiveness of sins and salvation and this guy named Jesus Christ. So go down to chapter 2, verse 14. Let's go through this with me, if you will. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. But the important part here is you just understood what happened. Peter, this guy who 53 days ago just said not once, not twice, but 3 times, I don't know who Jesus is. I'm not with him. Leave me alone. I don't know who Jesus is. He was scared to death of his physical well-being. Now, the Holy Spirit comes on the scene, fills up his body, and he stands up and addresses the crowd boldly. And I can assure you, some of those same people that yelled, crucify him, were standing in this crowd. And Peter calls them out. And that's the boldness that the Holy Spirit gives you. So he says some things from the prophet Joel and go down to verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. You guys saw a lot of these miracles. You know what he's. You know this is true. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, the Roman citizens, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Once again, this is Peter, a guy that was literally scared to death not a long time ago. Now is boldly, not once now, but twice, saying, listen to me, listen carefully. I'm getting ready to talk about salvation here. So if you don't mind, let's go down to verse 36. He says some things that David said, and now he makes this statement. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. These are bold words by a scared man 53 days ago. You killed him. God raised him from the dead. He's Lord and Christ now. I repeat that. You guys killed him. God raised him from the dead. He is Lord and Christ. He's telling a bunch of people that he was scared of, and that's not long ago. And so they've got a response. So literally they had no problem yelling crucify not too long ago, but now they have a response that's different. Why is this? Let's look at verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Now you can't tell me that God didn't set this all up. God wasn't already in this day of Pentecost. Now remember, this is Pentecost. Anybody who's anybody is here. And he has already been in their spirit softening the blow for what Peter's getting ready to say. You can't tell me Peter said more important words than Jesus. The difference was the Holy Spirit convicted before this message even got said. And he convicted them. And now they're cut to the heart. You guys ever been cut to the heart? That's not like you heard a truth and then it was like, oh yeah, I need to do something about this tomorrow. Or that was, I really should probably get on this. This is like, what do we do? I can't believe I've been part of this. I'm cut to the heart. What shall we do? And so Peter responds, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that when they receive the Holy Spirit, now they can go be bold. And I love this word go, but sometimes we get confused with what it means. This word go is meant to be as you are going or while you are going. And we get fearful. Sometimes I think when you hear the word go, okay, yeah, I'm hearing that I need to be going. Sometimes you automatically assume that God's going to send you to China or India or Haiti. And you know what? He may. But he may just be asking you to go to work or to the restaurant you go to or to your neighbor's house as you are going. How many of you guys have just a job where you have many people you know of right now who don't know who Jesus is? I mean, I have that too. And it just, why do I need to go to India? There are people at my job in Hudson that need to know who Jesus is. But he may call me to go to India, right? So Peter goes on and makes many more pleas, save yourself from this generation. It said many were baptized into a relationship with Jesus that day. It mentions 3,000, just so you know, these were old times, and so they didn't count women and children's numbers. We do that now. So it could have been as many as 9 or 10 or 15, 20,000 people for all we know. That's a big altar call, right? That's a big change that day. But it's because of the Holy Spirit. And this is the promise we have. When Jesus says, I'm going to be with you to the end of the age, he's not sending us alone. He's already in our tomorrows working on that person that you know you need to be bold with. Said that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and breaking of bread and prayer. They devoted themselves to these things. It wasn't just something they did on occasion. They were devoted to it. And then later on it says that daily God was adding to their number. Daily God was adding to their number. Not Peter, not John. God adds to our numbers. He's just asking us to be part of it. How cool is that? How cool is it that the creator of the heavens and the earth that did all the going for us to save us says, hey, I want you to be a partner with me in some things. Let's you and I do this together. Trust me, I'll do the work. I just want you to be bold. And so, like I mentioned, sometimes God does ask us to go faraway places. And sometimes he just asks us to go to work right where we're at. And so I want to use two examples of that. I got two good friends of mine. I mentioned one of them a couple weeks ago when I preached. A buddy named Dan Brown. So Dan Brown, you come on up. I'm going to hear his heart today because I talked about him, but I think it's fair he shares his heart. But Dan has a barbershop, and God didn't call him to go to India yet, but he called him just to go to work. And he's got a crew of people. Now look at his hair. He's the best barber in Florida. You got to admit, right? Let's get this guy a stool. Thank you, brother. Thanks for doing it.
Yes, sir.
So I got another buddy I want to use. Dale Gerardin also, this is really weird because I have the same shirt on. I didn't plan this, but Dale Gerardin, now this guy just has the best head in Florida, right? I mean, look at this thing. Sometimes God makes beautiful heads and puts hair on the rest of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, grab your stool, man. So I wanted you guys to hear their hearts because they do have different stories. One of them was called to go to a different place, and one of them was, like I said, was just called to go to work. And so I thought it'd be fair if I just asked you guys to share your hearts on this. So question one, just want to hear your heart on this. Discuss a time when you had to trust God and you knew only he could pull through for you, but you trusted him and you win. So I'll start with you, Dan. Go ahead.
Well, when I first got saved, I could not stop talking about Jesus Christ and his mercy on me. And because I was speaking of him so freely, I started losing a lot of customers at my job, at my barbershop. And so that was a scary moment, not knowing what was going to happen, whether business would pick back up or should I conform to the world and just stop talking about this guy named Jesus. And so I had to invite the Holy Spirit into my business, and I had to really commit to standing firm and standing on the Word of God. And God has used me to minister to many unbelievers, and I even baptized a few. And it's just and He's blessed my business. I mean, it's tripled since I invited Him in. And
yeah, it's always busy there.
I just gotta say praise God for that.
Now, Dale's story is a little different. He had to actually go. So what did that look like, and how did you trust God there?
Yeah, I was born and raised in the greatest state, New York. I only ever lived for 30-plus years, 15 or 20 miles from where I was actually born. So I knew everybody. I had community. I had family. I had friends. I had a network. And for 30 years, that's what we... The way we lived, the way I lived. My wife and I went to a church that I had friends that I had gone to elementary school with. I had teachers that I had way back in the day. And we knew everybody. We were connected. Mm-hmm. And we were in youth ministry there for about 6 or 7 years. And life was good. God was blessing us and was taking care of us, and we never had any thoughts of moving. And in 2013, my wife was pregnant with our fourth child, and I was sick, and so we needed to take a break from ministry, so we took a sabbatical, and we were just going to take, you know, the winter months off, and we were going to jump right back in the beginning of the year. And I was on the phone with a buddy of mine on Christmas Day of 2013, and he lives in Claremont. He had lived down here for about 3 years, and every time I talked to him, hey, you should move down to Florida. I'm not moving to Florida. I have no desire to go to Florida. And so I was talking to him on Christmas Day. I got off the phone, and I said, hey, babe, we should move to Florida. And I was joking. At least that's what my response was going to be if she didn't like. But without missing a beat, she said, all right, let's go. What? So that began a conversation between her and I, and we started talking to our pastors and our mentors, and we started praying about it. And I don't have time to go into the full story, but just through the next 6 months, doors kept opening and opportunities kept just popping up, and it became very clear very quickly that this is where God was calling us. And so our daughter was born in June. July 30th, we packed up everything we owned in our house to a 24-foot box truck, and we left New York. We left our comfort zone. We left everything that we knew, everyone that we loved, and we moved to Homosassa, and we hadn't even seen the house until we pulled in the driveway. Wow. And we knew nobody, and yet here we are 4 years later, and it's been a wild ride.
So you moved to Florida in the summer. That's a good call.
Never said I was smart.
That's trusting God, man. So obviously when you trust God, most times he shows you the benefit. He gives you the result, the reward of what you trusted him with. So if you have another opportunity to answer one, I want to see how he has blessed you because you guys both trusted him in this.
Well, when I got called to go on a youth group trip to Tennessee, it was crazy because one of my barbers at the time was going on vacation at the same week I was, and it was the week of 4th of July, so it was like the busiest time of year for a barbershop. And so we're going to lose a lot of customers. So I prayed to God. I said, if you want me to go on this trip, I need you to send me a barber to fill in for me while I'm gone. And the very next day, a barber called from Georgia and said that he wanted to start right away. And so that was an answered prayer. And then, so I show up at church, and Eli's having a baby. He's not going. And I have to step up more as a leader. And guess what? You have to drive 14 hours with 12 teenagers in a van. So I had some concerns,
and right.
But the first 2 days were pretty frustrating because they're high schoolers. They're hard to read. You know, you don't know if they're really paying attention or not, or they were cranky or frustrated, and so I prayed to God. I said, Lord, show me why you brought me here. Why'd you bring me on this trip? Like, why did I leave my business, my family, and everything to come and to listen to these teenagers whine? And so the next day, but God answered my prayer, and he showed me, like, the next day they started paying attention in small group. They started opening up and sharing and started praying for one another, and it was great to see God's glory revealed. And the two of the coolest kids I ever met, Isaiah and Hunter, asked me to baptize them. And so God showed me why I went there, and I was just praising them and just so happy to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's why you go. Mm-hmm. That's why you go. How about you, man?
Man, it's hard to pick just one blessing. And the time I have, I don't have time to talk about all of it. But well, a lot of you might not know, my wife and I are both on Social Security disability for different reasons. I was born with a very rare medical condition that has prevented me from working for the last almost 10 years. And since moving to Florida, I've only been in the hospital twice, which might not sound like a big deal. Linwood the other day, I heard him say, oh, I used my insurance for the first time ever. I'm like, dude, that's amazing. the 6 years or so prior to us moving, I was in the hospital over 24 times. My average stay was about 10 days. So to only be in the hospital twice is kind of a miracle. But just the daily blessings of food and a shelter and with our kids. You know, we, like I said, we have four kids, and so to be on a fixed income and sometimes not know where our next meal is going to come from, but we've never had that fear. God has always provided, and sometimes it's literally the last day of the month when I'm getting ready to, all right, how am I going to pay my bills? I have no idea how it's going to work, And we just sit down and we pray about it, and God provides. I don't know how. I don't know why. Well, I do know why, but I don't know where it comes from sometimes. It's just, it's there. And we have to keep continuing to trust and thank Him for that blessing. There's nothing else we can do.
Many of you guys don't know, these guys are teaching your middle school and high schoolers. I don't know if that's the best look, but no, I'm just kidding. But they are. I love these guys. And these guys are men after God's own heart, and they pour into your kids, and they just love kids, and to baptize kids and be part of their lives, I mean, that's just huge. That's going. And that's what it's like when you just say, it's not about me. God gave me talents, and so I need to be using them for what He gave me for. I just appreciate both of you guys' heart. And it's so cool you wear the same shirt even today. That's unplanned.
But, the twins.
So you get an opportunity right now to encourage somebody. So what does that look like? If you trusted God and you know, and I know you aren't done, I know God's asking you to still go, and you had somebody that's sitting here today that needs to hear that it's okay to trust God, even if it's weird, even if it's change, even if it's, you get a chance to speak to people. So what does that look like?
Well, for me, I think the biggest blessing in life is when you realize that the God of the universe, the maker of all things, the King of kings, thinks that I'm useful, thinks that you're useful. I mean, I never seen that calling for my life. I mean, I never thought I was good enough. But that's not what Jesus says. And if God woke you up today, He has a plan and a purpose for you. Don't waste time chasing things that don't matter. Your destiny in Christ awaits. I mean, I don't know what He's calling you guys to do, but step out, because that's where God's glory is shown, you know. Have faith. He goes before us.
Yeah, thanks. Amen. All right, brother. You got encouraging words.
Let's be obedient. You know, it's scary to step out into faith and, you know, like Pat said before, you might be called to China or India or wherever else, but you might be called to a different state, you might be called to a different country. You might just be called to go to work tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You might be called to go to school tomorrow. You know, it's that feeling. You know, I don't know how God speaks to you, but me, I kind of get that feeling right in my chest that I need to be obedient. And God will take care of you. Like Dan said, He'll go before you. He does go before us. It's scary. You know, we don't know sometimes what that looks like. We don't know what the next step is. But the first step, you can't go without taking the first step. Mm-hmm. And that's obedience.
Yeah. Man, I appreciate you guys coming up. This is not for everybody to be in front of people. We got the hair of the hairless, and I'm still figuring it out type of situation. So here's the deal. I get it. It's scary sometimes, right? Sometimes it's scary talking to a 30-year-old or 40-year-old or whoever you know. And so these guys have an opportunity. They took the opportunity to speak into the lives of kids. And so just so you guys know, we do a lot of youth things here. And we sent kids off to Lake Aurora Christian Camp in June this year. And why am I talking about that right now? Well, we're going to close with a video about that. But this year, the Lake Aurora Christian Camp has two campuses, two sides, if you will. And we've always had what's called the hillside, which is a beautiful, it's more like a resort. I don't even know if I'd call it camp. It's so nice. But it only holds so many kids. And so this year, it filled up in 2 weeks. And we didn't have an opportunity to send everybody we wanted to. I mean, every fifth, sixth, and seventh grader should have an opportunity to go to camp. And so Lake Aurora reached out to us and said, why don't you guys take the lakeside next year? It holds twice as many kids. So
praise God.
I'd love to have you guys be praying about this, because guess what twice as many kids needs? Means twice as many volunteers. And so next year, we're gonna send twice as many kids, twice as many volunteers, and think of it like an entry-level missionary trip, right? And we support Lake Aurora with missionary dollars. We have a great relationship with them. But February 10th, we're going to have what's called Open Sign-Up Day. Every computer in this place is going to be ready to sign up your kids, and possibly you. If you pray about this and ask Limwood or Eli what it means to go, what's it like to be a camp counselor? I mean, maybe I can't speak to a 30-year-old. Maybe I can start with a 13-year-old. I can go there, right? Look at the blessings. You get to baptize kids and be part of their lives and speak into their future, man. It's huge stuff. So next year, we're going to be doing that. One other thing. You guys know we planted a church 2 years ago, right? And its name is Go Church. We're going to plant another one next year. And so maybe God is asking you to think outside of the box, and maybe you want to be part of that. Go Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 at Deltona Elementary School, and maybe it's worth a trip down there just to see how they do things. I mean, it's pretty comfy here, right? And we know everybody, and the band's really good. They're really good. Mm-hmm. And people here are really friendly. But maybe it's worth going on just seeing how they're doing it, how they're overcoming, how the Holy Spirit has already invaded where they're at, mm-hmm. and is already in their tomorrow, and how they're changing lives in that part of town. So then maybe, who knows, next year could be your calling. But my challenge to you is to remember this. We're sitting here because 11 guys got on fire with the Holy Spirit and started telling people about Jesus. And they told, and they told, and they lived more important than told. And here we are today because of that. So tag you're it, right? We don't know what it looks like next year. I don't know what it looks like tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow, but I know that if there is one, the Holy Spirit's already there working on that name. And so in your minds for a second, just think about that person that went to you. Who is that person that had your name, your face on their heart and went to you, and you're sitting here because of them? And so now I want you to think about who God is placing on your heart tomorrow. What's that name and that face that now you need to go so that they could be sitting here or wherever that looks like? Anyway, would you mind closing us out? And then we're gonna do a video. How about that?
Okay.
Thank you for coming up, brother.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for this fresh start, another opportunity to become more like you. I ask you to send the Holy Spirit into everyone in this room right now and to guide them to a place where it's uncomfortable. Me coming up here was uncomfortable, Lord. I wasn't prepared, but you know what? You helped me through this, and I know that you can help everyone in this room. I want you to guide them to a place where they can go and be the church, because this is just a building. This is where we fill up, Lord, but the church is out there in the community, and that's where they're needed the most. So give them the strength and the power to do your calling in their lives. It's in your name I pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Ready, set, go.